for a year-end tax-deductible gift of $250 or more to Issues Etc., we'll send you our new book, Objections Overruled 2, Answering Arguments Against Christianity, and a recording of 14 Easter season hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support. The church has already been celebrating a new year, a new church year, according to the liturgical calendar, for about a month here with the season of Advent. At the beginning of December, we were in a new year. The world was still in the old year, and only now is it beginning to, well, this year of 2020. What do you have to say about it? It's pure superstition to say that as soon as the clock strikes midnight tonight, 2020 will be over and all the troubles that it brought with it will end too. That's superstition. That's idolatry. With 2021, we will still be sinners and we will still need Jesus and we will still await his coming again to bring all of this to an end, a final end. But in the meantime, we as Christians kind of live according to two calendars and two clocks. The world is beginning maybe to celebrate a new year, but it will in a lot of ways be just like the old one. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you from the new studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. On this New Year's Eve, I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Arthur Just will join us for our first hour. We'll be studying the New Year hymn, Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year. And then we'll continue our series through the Old Testament in a church year, talking with Dr. Ken Sherb about the new year from the perspective of the Old Testament. Dr. Arthur Just is professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. He serves as a missionary in the Latin America and Caribbean region, and he's author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth. Dr. Just, welcome back.
Wonderful to be with you on this New Year's Eve, Todd.
As Christians in the church, we have already started our year with Advent. Why do Christians also acknowledge the secular calendar, if you will?
Well, January 1st is the eighth day, Todd, the day of circumcision of our Lord. And we certainly elevate that because of the significance of his circumcision and the fact that it is the eighth day, which eight is the number of eternity. So each new year, we begin by thinking of how, because we have been joined to Christ in holy baptism and continue to have him among us and with us and in us through word and sacrament, that this is always an eternal year of grace, and that it is, in a sense, a very much a part of the whole church year that we celebrate as Christians. And it's also, I think, a time for us to acknowledge that the octave of Christmas is now, in a sense, coming to an end, and that we're going to be looking towards Epiphany and the light of Christ and the growing movement towards the really key events of the church year, the death and resurrection of Jesus that we celebrate during Holy Week and Good Friday and Easter.
Let's talk a little bit about a truly remarkable man who penned this hymn, Yaroslav Vida.
Well, it's a wonderful Czech hymn. It's a Slovak hymn. And it's one that I think he inherited. You know, he talks about it in his family, how he remembers as a child singing this on New Year's Eve in his home with his mother. And they would sing it to the same tune that we sing it to. And it has a real joyful cadence to it. And it's such joy, you know, as you're bringing a calendar year to an end and looking forward to a new year. And then he talks about how the next morning in church, you know, and there must have been a good gathering in East Chicago of saints on New Year's Day. The fact that the whole church would resound with joy at the singing of this hymn. And I think it's because it's a great hymn of gratitude. And I think he recognized that when he decided to translate it he could see that it was a hymn that really is not just a part of his sort of culture, but should be a part of all our culture as Christians who celebrate God's grace as we bring a year to an end and look forward to another year of his grace.
What would you say are the primary biblical texts behind this New Year's hymn?
Well, I would say the announcement of the angels is certainly cited here in from Luke 2. Obviously, the circumcision of Jesus, Luke 2:21. But there are a couple of psalms, Psalm 65 and Psalm 107, that talk about either gratitude or the closing of a year. And then I think there is a wonderful sort of doxological thanksgiving that we see in Ephesians chapter 3 that could very well be a part of this hymn. I think when we listen to it and kind of talk about it, it's really almost a thanksgiving hymn. If it didn't have a reference to the circumcision of Jesus and Christmas, we could almost sing it during the harvest time. And what's remarkable about this hymn is that it does embrace, you know, I mean, three or four of the great, you know, feasts of this time of year: Christmas, the circumcision of Jesus, and it also embraces kind of a look towards Epiphany. It prepares us for that and what we're going to be seeing in Epiphany. And I think you could even include here the name of Jesus, which is really what happens also in the circumcision of Jesus. So the new year, the name of Jesus, circumcision, Christmas. I mean, in seven verses, it really covers a lot of territory of the church year.
The first stanza of Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year. Now greet the swiftly changing year with joy and penitence sincere. Rejoice, rejoice, with thanks embrace another year of grace. That's the Lutheran Public Radio Choir with stanza one of the New Year hymn, Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year. Where would you take us first in this stanza, Dr. Just?
Well, when you see those two words, joy and penitence, you can't help but think of our church year and where we have been in the last 5 or 6 weeks. The fact that Advent does prepare us through, you know, an entrance into the Holy City, and then John the Baptist preaching that really is a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, making people holy, pure by a baptism, a washing, a repentance, and receiving forgiveness so that they may be ready for this inbreaking of this incandescent holiness that comes when Jesus comes to his holy city, and for us in this Advent season, when we celebrate his birth in Bethlehem. And then the last Sunday of Advent, we looked at the Annunciation and how this wonderful, rejoice, O favored one, the Lord is with you, and how the incarnation happens through the voice of Gabriel that enters Mary's ear, and the Holy Spirit comes upon her and the power of the Most High overshadows her. I mean, to move from penance to joy, the joy of Christmas, the joy of the birth of the light, the fact that the light is now dawning for us and the whole movement from the darkness at the end of the winter solstice to the beginning of the light. I mean, it strikes you that what we do in this verse is that no matter how dark it is, and certainly this year, it's one of the darkest years in everybody's memory, we still greet a new year knowing that God is a God of grace. And no matter how hard it's been, we're going to see this throughout the hymn, no matter how hard it has been for us, no matter how dark it has been, God is still a God of grace. And we greet it with sincere joy and penitence, because that is the rhythm of Christian life. the sorrow for our sins and the joy of knowing that they are forgiven in Christ, that is at the heart of every year, no matter how good a year it's been or how dark a year it's been.
As you said before, we tend to contrast penitence and joy usually, but for the Christian, is there actual joy in that Holy Spirit wrought repentance over sin?
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I've always loved Advent in many ways more than any other season. Loved preparing my people and my parish for the birth of the Christ child, because there is in the recognition of who we are and how we have been made one in Christ as his body, the church, that is constituted by the rhythm of our baptism, of dying with Christ and then rising with him. And they go together. They always do, just like Good Friday goes together with Easter. I mean, if you want to think of a penitential moment, it's at the death of Jesus. If you want to think of the greatest moment of joy, there is in the resurrection of Jesus. And of course, Christmas, I think more than any other thought, is joy. I mean, the joy of the angels at the birth of Jesus, it's going to be quoted in this hymn. And I always, when I teach Luke's gospel, I said probably one of the great themes, if not the greatest theme of Luke, is joy. The very last verse of Luke is that they return to the temple with great joy, praising God. You know, the joy of Christian living is what distinguishes us from the world. And it's true joy. It's joy in Christ. It's the joy of knowing that we have been able to come before God in repentance and faith and receive that forgiveness, and knowing that in Christ we have been released from the darkness of our sins.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. He's professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. On the other side of the break, stanza 2 of Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year. Remember now the Son of God and how he shed his infant blood. Rejoice, rejoice, with thanks embrace another year of grace.
Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Does this sound like your church budget process at the end of the year? You get last year's budget and go through with a committee line by line, maybe what we should spend next year. Maybe you have a prayer. But where's the Word of God in this process? When do the people hear what the small catechism says about giving and why we do it? Contact us at LCMS Stewardship so that we can help you fix this process, put the Word of God first, and put your congregation on a good footing. LCMS.org/stewardship.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
From New York's beautiful Hudson Valley, visit us at the Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer, Peekskill, New York, a small, confessional, conservative Lutheran church with traditional Lutheran liturgical worship, gospel-rich, shenanigan-free. For more information, visit us at OurRedeemerLCMS.org.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
That's the second stanza of the New Year hymn, Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year. We're studying this hymn with Dr. Arthur Just. He is professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, where they form servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Consider studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess in the new year at Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more at ctsfw.edu. or by calling 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Just, you had mentioned before the coincidence here of the secular New Year and the church's calendar, which is the eighth day, the circumcision and the naming of our Lord.
Yes, and this is the verse that brings us to that. And the verses 2 and 3 are really where I think this sermon preaches the gospel. And the other verses certainly are related to that, but these are the core verses. And the Son of God, how he sheds his infant blood, I mean, it is a most remarkable thing. At 8 days old, Jesus does, for the first time, shed his blood for us. And in a way, he brings circumcision to an end. We are all now circumcised in him. And even though there were circumcisions afterward, I mean, it really is no longer, you know, a requirement to become a Jew, because Jesus is going to change all that. And this is an anticipation in Luke's gospel, where it's recorded, Luke 2:21, of the fact that he will shed his blood at the end of his life. That's the goal of his life. And, you know, we didn't talk about this in connection with the first verse, but almost all the verses, with the exception of two, end the same way: rejoice, rejoice, with thanks embrace, another year of grace. And I mean, there's nothing to rejoice over more than the fact that the Lord has come and shed his blood for us. And the fact that it is at 8 days, you know, you can see that the shedding of his blood brings in eternity. The number eight is the number of eternity. And, you know, the eight on the ark and the eighth day of circumcision, and Sunday is the first day of the second week, which is the eighth day, and early Christians certainly celebrated that. That's the reason why we rejoice and give thanks, because all of us who are baptized into Christ, who live in him, you know, who worship him, we are all, in a sense, even now on earth, we are living in eternity. Heaven is on earth in the person of Jesus, and that is the greatest reason for Eucharistic living that one could possibly imagine. And so this verse is the one that really gives us the foundation for any reason to look back on a year and give thanks, or look forward to a year in anticipation, knowing that God's grace will continue for us because we have been engrafted into him through holy baptism.
Stanza 3, this Jesus came to end sin's war. This name of names for us he bore. Rejoice, rejoice, with thanks embrace another year of grace.
This Jesus came to end sin's war. This name of names for us he bore. Rejoice, rejoice, with thanks embrace another year of grace.
You said that this and the previous stanza really are the heart of this hymn. How does the name that Jesus bore for us fit in?
Well, the name of Jesus, the meaning of it, and it's interesting, in Matthew, it's, you know, you shall call his name Jesus, is addressed to Joseph. And there we get the meaning of the name, for he will save his people from their sins. He's the Savior from sins. And there, again, you have a pointing to the cross and to the blood of Jesus and his atonement. That announcement is made to Mary. You will call his name Jesus. The name Jesus means Savior. And what does he save us from? He saves us from what I like to call the virus of sin that has infected everything since the fall of our first parents. And in this last year of 2020, we certainly understand virus, don't we? how it is something that brings a darkness and a death. And there's only one way of healing that virus. There's only one cure for that virus of sin, and it's the Savior, he who will save his people from their sins. When he was circumcised on the eighth day, when he shed his blood, he was given that name. And when that name was given to Joseph and Matthew and to Mary and Luke, they knew immediately who this child was, that this is the Messiah. This is what was promised in Genesis 3:15. This is what the Old Testament people had been looking forward to for all those years. And here we are in the cusp of 2021, looking that it might be a better year than 2020, knowing that it will be, because the name of Jesus is on us. The name that we have is the name that we receive from the one who received that name of Savior. And we're baptized into that name, and that name is what defines us. And so, again, that's the reason why we rejoice and give thanks, looking back and looking forward to a new year of grace.
I appreciate that in this translation, he says Jesus came to end sin's war. God is not the aggressor in this war. The invader is, in fact, sin itself.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, in a way, you can say that with the incarnation, with the coming of Jesus, is what, you know, we celebrate in this holy season. Because sin is at war with us, he has to invade from heaven and declare war on sin. And when he does, he is the great triumphant one. I mean, sin has no chance against him. And the reason is because he absorbs it into himself. He takes on our sins. He bears our sins and carries our sorrows. And he carries them all the way to the cross. We don't have to do that. We can't do that. Only he can do that. And again, that's the reason for our joy. That's the reason for our thanksgiving.
Here is the fourth stanza of Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year. His love abundant far exceeds the volume of a whole year's needs. Rejoice, rejoice, with thanks embrace another year of grace.
His love abundant far exceeds the volume of a whole year's needs. Rejoice, rejoice, with thanks embrace another year of grace.
What stands out to you, Dr. Just, in this fourth stanza?
Well, it starts with the love of Jesus, and, you know, it's abundant. And, I mean, that's, in a sense, what was born on Christmas. God's love was born. He loved the world so much, he gave up his only begotten Son. And that love covers any needs that we might have, especially, again, as we think about what a difficult year we've had in 2020. And I know, I mean, we all do, people who have lost loved ones, who've had economic difficulties, who've been locked up and not being able to socialize, have had a very, very lonely, very difficult year. And his love is abundant. It even in a dark year like this, it is one in which a whole year's needs can be absorbed into. And this flows out of those other two verses. This is the comfort of the gospel of his dying for us, the gospel that he conquers sin by his death, and that our needs must be seen in light of his love. And in a way, that's our responsibility as a church, to tell people who are sort of desperate and who are overwhelmed by their needs, that there is a God of love and that there is a community of love, a church of love that is ready to meet those needs in Christ with his love. And that's, again, the source of joy, that the fact that love conquers all things in Christ. And it's the reason we give thanks. That's why this hymn, even though that same refrain happens again and again, you can see that it just is acknowledging again and again why it is as Christians in this transition from one year to another, with the circumcision of Jesus being at the center of our focus, his blood shed for us, you know, as an infant, that is at the heart of joy and thanksgiving.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. He is professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, serves as a missionary in the Latin America and Caribbean regions, and he's author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth. After our break, here is stanza 5 of Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year. With him as Lord to lead our way in want and in prosperity, what need we fear in earth or space in this new year of grace? If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this year, please make a year-end tax-deductible donation to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for including Issues Etc. in your year-end giving.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com.
Concordia University Chicago grounds students in objective truth, integrity, and excellence, and practices faithfulness to the confessional teachings of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. This is Dr. Eric Ankerberg, Provost at CUC. Please consider joining our faculty community. We currently have openings for Dean of the College of Business and for Director of our new nursing program. And soon we will also begin a search for the new dean of the College of Education. Learn more on the employment page at cuchicago.edu.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You are listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Our Redeemer, Smithfield, Rhode Island. Atonement Lutheran, Glendale, Arizona. Christ the Shepherd Lutheran, Alpharetta, Georgia. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Hope Lutheran, Highland, Illinois. St. John Lutheran, Paulina, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. St. Paul Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, San Dimas, California. And Zion Lutheran, Labore, Nebraska. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. The fifth stanza of the hymn, Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year. We're studying this hymn with Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Just, there's a lot to fear that is behind us, things we never thought we would have to fear in this life. We probably should have known better going into 2020. But we know the fears that face us now headed into a new year, and some of them seem insurmountable. Speak to that, if you would.
Well, I think this verse does. It is, as I said earlier, it's been a horrible year. There are things that have happened that almost seem overwhelming to people. And you can become completely overtaken by your fears. I think all of us have woken up sometime during these last 9 months and, you know, wondered if, do we have the virus, or was I careful? Did I give the virus to someone? And, you know, some people it doesn't hurt very badly. Others, for no reason, they get really overtaken by it. I think the hiddenness of it, the fact that it's not visible, it's something that is really unseen, and we protect ourselves from something we cannot even imagine in a way. All we see are the results of it. This verse is different from all the other verses. It doesn't end in the same way. It has a different ending. And I think it is intended to alert us after hearing four verses of rejoice, rejoice, with thanks embrace another year of grace, to realize that we're talking now about why the Lord did come. He came to lead our way, as the hymn says. He is our captain in the well-fought fight, if you want to use the language of the great All Saints hymn. But he does go before us. He goes before us into the wilderness. He goes before us to Jerusalem. He allows himself to be lifted up on a cross for us. And he conquers death by his death for us. In want and in prosperity, you know, it's been interesting to see how there have been some who have been sort of untouched by this pandemic. But most people have been, in one way or another, affected very, very deeply in their life. And the fact that we do have a leader, somebody who went into the darkness of darkness for us, that he knows what it's like to face the horror of Satan's onslaughts, you know, tempted not just in the wilderness, but then in the garden. He knows the darkness of our sin and suffers deeply for it, for us, not only during the 3 days, the Good Friday, but his whole life, he was sin bearer for us. I find interesting that it says, what need we fear in earth or space? I'm not sure when this was written in the 17th century that they were thinking of outer space. I think they were thinking about the kind of open space that can sometimes be frightening for people, where there is no humanity, there is no one around us. And I think all of us have been kind of struck by the loneliness of not being with others, even though it may not be an open space. Maybe it be a closed space in our home or our apartment or our dorm room. But the last line is going to be repeated in the seventh verse. But instead of another year of grace, it looks forward in this new year of grace. And now that we've got a vaccine, now that people are beginning to see that maybe we're turning the corner, I think that there's reason for great hope as we look forward to this 2021, to another year of grace, to this new year of grace. There is a newness that I think we all are desperately seeking. And I, for one, am very, very hopeful that 2021 will be a wonderful year, in which we will see all of us being able to resume our lives again, and especially to be with people again. I think we've all missed that terribly.
The sixth stanza, you had mentioned the songs of the angels. All glory be to God on high, and peace on earth, the angels cry. Rejoice, rejoice, with thanks embrace another year of grace.
All glory. Rejoice, rejoice, with thanks embrace.
is the angel song at Christ's birth here in this hymn?
I think it's here because it is the source of the joy that we have. The joy of Christmas comes because of the song of the angels. In Luke's, you know, first two chapters, you know, where he gives us the story of Jesus and John as children, you can see that there are a number of hymns that reflect, you know, the hymns of the people of God from the Old Testament, but now they're hymns that are sung because John and Jesus are here to usher in this new era of salvation. There's the Magnificat by Mary, the Nunc Dimittis by Simeon that frame the infancy narrative. And in the middle, there's the Benedictus by Zechariah and the greatest of all the four hymns, and that is the hymn of the angels at the birth of the Christ child to the shepherds. What they announce is peace on earth. I think that's the key to the joy. That's a key to the reason why there's glory to God in the highest. Peace is another great theme of Luke, and I've always taught this in liturgy class. It's the number one word in the liturgy, peace, that when Jesus comes, he brings peace on earth. It's interesting, and I reflect on this with my students, that an almost exactly similar expression is used when Jesus enters Jerusalem in Luke's gospel. But it's not peace on earth, it's peace in heaven. And the fact that Luke has two very, very parallel statements at the incarnation and Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem for his atonement shows that heaven and earth are brought together in peace through the birth and the death of the Christ child. Peace is, in a sense, what we really need in this new year of grace. You know, we can talk about loneliness, we can talk about darkness, but I think the unsettledness of this last year, people have not been at peace. They've been looking for that peace. And I just so enjoyed during this Christmas season singing those hymns again. I started early this year when we put up our tree at the beginning of Advent. I started Christmas music. I needed it. I really, really needed it. I think a lot of people did. And I played them over and over again because I needed to hear the most soothing carols that announce that peace is on earth in the Christ child. That peace, which passes all understanding, as we hear at the end of many sermons, is one of the great, great gifts that God gives, and again, is a reason for our joy. So I think it's just brilliant that the author of this hymn put this verse here in this place, because we have, in a sense, you know, given the foundation for that piece in the first five verses, and now we can rear back with the angels and sing that magnificent hymn that was sung at the birth of Jesus.
The seventh and final stanza of Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year, God, Father, Son, and Spirit, hear. To all our pleas incline your ear, upon our lives rich blessings trace in this new year of grace.
God, Father, Son, and Spirit, hear.
This is a doxology, of course, but it is also a prayer for the coming year.
It is. And, you know, you almost wonder if this author knew when he wrote this that this is the perfect thing we need to hear at this moment. It is, in a sense, a command to the Trinity to listen to us, to hear our cries, to hear our pleas, to hear our prayers. And I think this past year, we have done that. I think there have been many cries, many pleas for God to listen to our needs. And it's an amazing ending to this hymn that no matter how hard it's been and no matter how dark it's been, we know that in Christ we are blessed. And to trace those blessings, it's a wonderful word that is used there in that translation. Like tracing the sign of the cross on the forehead of a child at baptism. That is where the blessing is given. There was a word for it in the Greek called sphragis. I lecture on it in baptism class, the sign. It's like a mark. It's almost like a tattoo that we have this sign on us, the sign of the cross, the sign of the one who shed his blood at 8 days old for us, and then 33 years later on a cross for us. That is the blessing that is signed on us. I always love blessing children at the altar rail, and I always put my hand on their head, and then I sign them. I make the sign of the cross with my thumb on their forehead and say, God, keep you in your baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I think that's what this hymn is telling us, that the pleas that we have to God in the new year that's coming is that he would remind us that we have been blessed in holy baptism, that he has traced his name on us, the name of Jesus, which is the theme of this hymn, the day on which we see his name given to him on the day of his circumcision, the name of Jesus, the one who will save his people from their sins.
And we know this true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, only because this God, the Son, has appeared among us and taken up his dwelling among us sinners and become the sacrifice for our sins. Otherwise, we would not be able to utter this last stanza. We would not know who to call upon.
Exactly. I mean, it's the wonder of the Christian faith. It's the wonder of Christmas. And even in a more and more secularized world, there is something about that wonder that still grasps even people who claim they don't believe it. There is something marvelous about the fact that God comes to us in the infant baby Jesus.
We're studying the New Year's hymn, Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest, author of the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth. You can purchase these resources by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. In our last 10 minutes with Dr. Just, we will hear the entire hymn and get his final thoughts. Stay tuned. Is it possible for the Apostle Paul to teach the doctrine of faith alone without using the words faith alone? Find out in my column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Katie Price Vogel writes about her journey from the false assurance of works in Roman Catholicism to the true assurance of Jesus' accomplished work in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you know a child with autism, dyslexia, ADHD, or Down syndrome? Do you have a student who needs an effective yet more gently paced education? We invite you to visit simplyclassical.com for a complete academic curriculum rooted in the truth of God's Word, the mercy of forgiveness, and the peace of Christ. From Memoria Press, simplyclassical.com, promo code LPR22.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Arthur Jest is our guest. We're studying the New Year hymn, "Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year," on this New Year's Eve. Dr. Jest, let's hear the entire hymn, and then we'll get your final thoughts. Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the hymn, "Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year." I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Arthur Jest is our guest. What are your final thoughts here, Dr. Jest?
I want to go back to verse 5, the one verse that is not like the others. With him as Lord to lead our way, in want and in prosperity, what need we fear in earth or space in this new year of grace? You can hear here in this author that he's probably echoing Paul in that wonderful chapter 8 of Romans. If God is for us, who can be against us? I think we have to continually do what the second verse tells us, to remember that reality that God is for us. That God is for us because he came to us. Came as a child. He came as a child who shed his blood for us. and to remember that he's the child who came to wage war against sin and to release us from those sins through his death. So that, as it says in the third verse, his name that he bore is the name of Savior. More than ever in this world in which we live, I think we need to remember that if God is for us, who can be against us? No virus can conquer us, not even what that virus sometimes leads to, because Christ has conquered death with his death. And as we really make a very sort of sad and lonely transition from this year to the next, and what I mean by that is many of us who have traditions of getting together with loved ones and friends to celebrate the new year, probably not going to be able to do that this year. Again, it's a reminder of the kind of year it's been. But the fact that it is on the circumcision of our Lord, the day in which his name is placed on him, the name that identifies who he is for us, I think maybe this is going to be a more spiritual sort of celebration of moving from one year to the next. And to remember that even though it's been a hard year, we can rejoice and give thanks. And we can plea with God, as the last verse suggests, that he trace his blessings on us. For his blessings are great. For we have been freed from our sins. Our life is defined by his life because we have been baptized into that life. And that those enemies that stalk us, even the virus that stalks us, we have been rescued, saved by Jesus, the one who will save his people from their sins. And so in this new year of grace, may God bless all who are listening to this. May God trace his name on them. May God continue to give them reason to rejoice and give thanks. And may God especially show them in the love that he has for them through the love of others that he is always the one who leads the way into a new year of grace.
Dr. Arthur Just is professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. He serves as a missionary in the Latin American and Caribbean regions, and he's author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, thank you very much.
Happy New Year, Todd.
LCMS Worship has produced hymn studies that you can download for free. You'll find them at lcms.org/worship, lcms.org/worship. Next hour, we'll continue our series Through the Old Testament in a Church Year, discussing Joseph and the Call of Moses with Dr. Ken Sherb. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the Divine Service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of his family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the Scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.